If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Paul writes in his letter to the Thessalonians, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And twice in the book of Revelation, it says, I will come like a thief. Now, you and I are used to images or titles of Jesus like Good Shepherd, Lamb, the King, like last week. But what's up with this image, this title of Jesus as being a thief? How do we make sense of that image? What does it mean for Jesus to be a thief for all of us? And may I suggest three different ways. Number one, like any good thief, he's able to circumvent our security systems, our walls, our illusions that we do, that we have, that prevent us from really hearing the truth and really knowing what God is really like. And secondly, of course, like any thief, he comes unannounced. And thirdly, goes without saying, that he comes to steal. So this image of Jesus as a thief is an interesting one, I think, to ponder for today. So what does it mean for Jesus to be the great thief? And I'd like to share with you a story, if I may, of how this young boy stole the heart of his teacher to try to make the point. Teddy Stoddard was probably qualifies for probably the most disinterested student in the class, if not the most disinterested student in the school. He was one of those kids with a deadpan face, kind of emotionless all the time. When his teacher would ask him questions, he would answer in a monosyllable. Yeah, no, huh, something like that. His teacher, Ms. Thompson, was extremely ambitious, saw herself one day as being a principal or superintendent of schools. So she always played her cards correctly. She was always very politically correct about everything that she did. And she would tell anybody, I really love all of my students, but it really wasn't the truth. And she had a particular disdain for Teddy Stoddard. And this disdain she had for him wasn't something that she showed outwardly. She was too savvy about all that. Doesn't look good on the evaluations, after all. But she really didn't like the kid at all. And when he would hand in a paper to her, she loved to put a big X beside everything he kind of did wrong and would put a big F on his paper with a kind of certain flair. But of all people, Ms. Thompson should have known better, because she had all Teddy's records. First grade, Teddy shows promise. Terrible home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better. Mother very ill, receives no support at home. Third grade, Teddy's a good boy. Too serious. His mother died this year. In fourth grade, Teddy is very slow, well-behaved. His father shows no interest at all. And on it goes. Well, Christmas came that year, and all the kids brought Christmas presents for Ms. Thompson, and she stuck them all on her desk in a big pile. And at a certain point of the day, she called all the kids up around the desk to sort of, as she unwrapped them all and showed all the children all the gifts that they had brought to her. And one of them, surprising to her, was from Teddy. Kind of shocked her that she actually had one from him. It was wrapped in simply brown paper and tucked together with scotch tape and just simply had written across it, to Ms. Thompson from Teddy. And whenever she opened his gift, this gaudy rhinestone bracelet fell out along with this bottle of cheap perfume. The kids giggled when they saw it, and God bless her, Ms. Thompson put a stop to that. And for whatever reason, she does not know why, she decides to put on this bracelet with half the stones missing in it. and actually opens the bottle of perfume, puts some dabs on her wrist and says, "Doesn't that really smell great?" Well, the day came to an end. All the kids left, except for Teddy. And he kind of stayed behind for a while and sort of milled around the classroom. And whenever they were both alone, he goes up to Ms. Thompson and says, "Ms. Thompson, I'm glad you like my presents. I'm glad you like the bracelet that I gave you that was my mother's. And you smelled like my mother today." So he goes and he leaves, and Miss Thompson just, in a moment of grace, gets down on her knees, begins with tears in her eyes to beg God for mercy for how she treated this boy and many other students like him. And when Christmas vacation was over and the kids came back for class once again, there was a new teacher there. It was Miss Thompson, all right, but a completely different person. She was no longer merely a teacher. She was now an agent of God. Now she really, really did care for all of her students. She really, really did care, especially for the slow ones, and most especially, she was dedicated to Teddy Stoddard, who became one of the smartest students in the class by the time the end of the year occurred. She hadn't heard from Teddy for quite a while. Then all of a sudden, she got a note that said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Signed, Teddy Stoddard." 4 years later, she got another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be first to know. The university was not easy for me, but I liked it. Signed, Teddy Stoddard." 4 years later, "Dear Ms. Thompson, as of today, I am now Theodore Stoddard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know I am getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I have left. My dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stoddard." And so Miss Thompson did come to the wedding that day. She did sit where Teddy's mother would have sat. Who else could have been worthy to sit in such a place because of what she did for that young boy, by giving him a fresh hope when no one cared for him at all and things seemed hopeless? When I read this story, Ms. Thompson was still teaching, very much dedicated to her students, very much the love teacher. And one time she said out loud, "This is so much better than being superintendent of schools." As her blind ambition and her selfishness was stolen by a thief, snatched away by a young child, a victim of Jesus, the great thief. And in that day, when she put on that bracelet and she put that perfume on her wrist, not knowing what was going to happen, all of a sudden she received a fresh hope, a new purpose in her life. So here you and I are today. We begin this first Sunday of Advent, and we had a beautiful banner outside put up there with everything, and we had to take it down Thanksgiving the night before because the wind was going to blow it away, and we would never have seen it again. It was going to be going down the street. We're going to put it up for today, and then the weather, kind of like whatever was happening today. So anyway, on the front of the banner, it simply says, as the front of your booklet here for the small groups, we invite you to experience a fresh hope. A fresh hope by this thief, Jesus Christ, who has come to circumvent your defense systems that you and I oftentimes have to keep God at a safe distance. Now, I don't know if I've ever told you this little story before. When I first came to our mother's sorrows. And before we put chairs, this is Christmas Eve, by the way, before we start putting chairs down the sides and down the middle and everything else to put everybody, when I first came, I think it was my second Christmas or whatever, and all these people are standing in the back. They were actually standing outside. And so we started letting people sit up here. As a matter of fact, the servers lost their seats that year. They had to sit in the floor, I think some of them. But anyway, they were sitting all over the place up here. So I went back to the back, and I said, come on up front, you guys. We have seats for you up here. And I could hear off in the distance over in the corner a person saying, I don't want to get that close. Aren't we kind of like that? God, you're okay that far away. You're okay here, but I don't want to get that close. And aren't we sometimes like that? I'm inviting you to let Jesus circumvent your defense systems, to let him get close to you so we can give you a new hope. He says he always comes unannounced. He will come and break into our world when you and I least expect it. Again, I wonder if Ms. Thompson realized when she put that gaudy bracelet on with half the rhinestones missing that day that somehow God was going to give her a fresh hope and a new purpose in her life. And finally, you know, that woman allowed that young boy to steal her heart. I want to invite you this Advent, let Jesus steal your heart. Let him steal your soul. Let him steal you. Let him have his way. Open it up. Allow him to come in and offer you a fresh hope as you've never, ever experienced it before.